Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sri Bhakti Vai Bhava ki.
Jai.
Karanta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Kiridas Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Janitai Goprima. So does anyone remember what we spoke about last week?
We discussed that the how the quality of the leader should be, and why everyone in this college should go out and be a leader, so that all the politicians can push the politician for benefit of society.
Yeah. Any other points?
I received an email from Mahesh, and he tried to summarize the last chapter in three different sections. What he said is the first part of the chapter, we talk about the qualities of the king or the leader or commander. And the second thing is his activities, and third is responsibility. So what we pick from them is just these three aspects in a sense. The qualities, activities and responsibility. That's I find that's a nice way of summarizing the whole into three different buckets.
Good. Did we put the course book on the first one? That was on. Okay. Do you have a point? Do you have a point?
One of the qualities of a king we saw was he should be Narasimha. He should be like God or the divinity. And if a king is not, if he is selfish, then he is not supposed to be king. He should be selfish.
Good. Any other points?
Chanakya Pandit three sections. Four points. So to see other guys and another. And to see others of the other half of the body. And to see others well for the language. And to see others as you see yourself. Expect others to be together.
Good. Anything else?
Learning should be put into actions. Our learning should be, we should put our learning into actions.
If we want to advance in spiritual, we have to take vows and also associate with superiors, senior devotees.
Good point. Anything else?
Depending upon the situation, so they can change the direction of the other person.
And the Vedic culture was based on families living together, and we also discussed how that we need to respect the Brahmins in the society, because without Brahmins, it's like a hideous world. And also that if you want to advance in spiritual life, you have to take vows, because they will help you advance in spiritual life.
Very good. Anything else? So we see that Maharaj Sridhar was coronated after King Vaina was killed by the Brahmanas for being an unqualified king. Then Maharaj Prithu, he appeared from the body of Vaina. When the Brahmanas churned King Vaina's arms, then at that time Maharaj Prithu appeared. And Maharaj Prithu is said to be a Shakyavesh avatar, an incarnation of Krishna himself. Now we see that after he appeared, he was glorified for his extraordinary qualities and his extraordinary abilities. And then we see that due to his humility, he does not accept the praise, but rather he says, wait for me to at least do something. and then possibly you can praise them. So it shows how the perfect quality of a devotee is to be humble when receiving praise from others. Then, in this chapter, chapter 17, it is called...
Maharaj
Prithu
becomes angry at the
earth.
So now we'll see.
In chapter 17, so now we'll go from verses 1 to 17, and we'll see how Maharaj Prithu, once he becomes king, how he begins to care for the citizens. And we see what is the ideal example of leadership. So we'll begin with verse number 1. The great sage Maitreya continued, in this way the reciters who were glorifying Maharaj Prithu readily described his qualities and chivalrous activities. At the end, Maharaj Prithu offered them various presentations with all due respect and worshipped them adequately. King Prithu, thus satisfied, and offered all respect to all the leaders of the Brahmanas and other castes, to his servants, to his ministers, and to the priests, citizens, general countrymen, people from other communities, admirers, and others, and thus they all became happy. Vidura inquired from the great sage, Maitreya, my dear Brahmana, since Mother Earth can appear in different shapes, why did she take the shape of a cow? And when King Prithu milked her, who became the calf, and what was the milking pot? The surface of the earth is by nature low in some places and high in others. How did King Prithu level the surface of the earth? And why did the King of Heaven Indra steal the horse meant for the sacrifice? The great saintly king, Maharaj Prithu, received knowledge from Sanat Kumar, who was the greatest Vedic scholar. After receiving knowledge to be applied practically in his life, how did the saintly king attain his desired destination? So these five questions which have been asked here by Vidura to Maitreya is will constitute the remaining, the answers to these five questions will constitute the rest of the pastime of Maharaj Prithu up until chapter 23. These five questions will be answered. Why did he become angry at the earth? And then two questions relating to that question. And then, why did Indra steal the sacrificial horse of Maharaj Prithu? And what took place when Maharaj Prithu took instruction from Sanat Kumar? So these questions, these will contain the answers to these questions. Will take us to the end of chapter 23. So we'll begin to read the purport. Merely to look, please read it.
There are four Vaishnava Sampradaya systems of Vishuddhi succession. One Sampradaya comes from Lord Brahma, one from the Goddess of Fortune, one from the Kumara, said by Sanat Kumara, and one from Lord Shiva. These four systems of disciplic succession are still going on. As King Prithu has illustrated, one who is serious about receiving transcendental Vedic knowledge must accept a guru or spiritual master in one of these four disciplic successions. It is said that unless one accepts a mantra from one of these sampradayas, the so-called mantra will not act in Kali Yuga. Many sampradayas have sprung up without authority and they are misleading the people by giving unauthorized mantras. The rascals of these so-called sampradayas do not observe the Vedic rules and regulations. Although they are addicted to all kinds of sinful activities, they still offer the people mantras and thus mislead them. Intelligent persons, however, know that such mantras will never be successful and as such they never patronize such upstart spiritual groups. People should be very careful of these nonsensical sampradayas. To get some facility for sense gratification, unfortunate people in this age receive mantras from these so-called sampradayas. Sidhu Maharaj, however, showed by his example that one could receive knowledge from a bona fide sampradaya. Therefore, Maharaj Sidhu accepted Sanat Kumara as his spiritual master.
So what are the points here?
They are talking about such a question. They are talking about the mantra that we receive by the second initiation.
And also the sampradayic mantra, or the maha mantra of the sampradaya also. Both mantras. Gayatri mantra and the maha mantra.
Well, for maha mantra we need a spiritual master to pronounce
the mantra. For it to have effect, you need to receive it in the sukha succession.
So the chanting I do before the first initiation does not have meaning?
No, it means you're already connected because Srila Prabhupada came from Prabhupada, so. And Prabhupada's representative, so that's how you receive the mantra, so it has effect. So any other points?
It is important to accept bona fide spiritual master if one has these four sampradayas. Many people have this knowledge. If there are so many people in India, especially if there are so many professional Bhagavata reciters, they do that Bhagavad Sapta for 7 days, and there are huge fundamentalism, so much many people, sometimes they are not from bona fide sampradayas.
Any other points?
So the interesting thing is, the people who go to this professional here, people who recite this professionally, they don't know that they are taking some standard product. That's what happens. The part I'm trying to make, it depends on their own sukhati, what level of knowledge they will get. So how far it is justifying to just blame them for this. They don't go there because they want this. It just happens to be there.
No, but then it's your responsibility to find a bona fide teacher. You don't just go to any teacher.
But they don't have that knowledge.
Yeah, but then you have to get the education.
Yeah, so that's exactly my point. I thought I am lucky just because I'm sitting in this class. So they...
No, but also you came, and then when you came, then you understood that this was authorized. So there's some discretion. It's not that you're here just by chance, that you use some discretion, you use some intelligence, and you understood that this was the right choice to make, as opposed to other choices. So it means that people have to take... It's the responsibility lies with both the teacher and the students. Both have to take responsibility. You can't just put all the responsibility on one or the other. Any other points?
Part of the answer we can reply also in material world. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to the right institution, medical university, to get the degree. Then you can't practice in the state, especially in Western countries. So you have to be fully certified, do full course, full examination. Then you have to sit now for the entrance in Australia. Then the state recognizes, then only you can practice as a physician. So if medical things, there are so much difficulty. Spiritual knowledge, you have to see the master who is from the spiritual profession. Unless we serve a spiritual master in the profession, there is not much hope of getting the spiritual world. We will gain something, but not the spiritual world. We have to follow the whole time.
But this isn't one of the things. I think Gauram who was saying, people go there to all this, like Bhagavad Gita and all that, just like an entertainment. For them, it's like entertainment in the form, in the mode of goodness. So for some time, they feel nice, get some peace and all this, and they feel happy, but it doesn't really change their heart. So.
Leveraging Krishna at this point, not only the students, even the teachers sometimes are not aware about the people who are reciting the Bhagavatam or the so-called gurus of India. They themselves are not aware that they should be from a bona fide sampradaya and they are really should be. Ritesh Prabhu was once telling, he went with one of his, the so-called gurus of his parents, and he was actually a Mayavadi in terms of Prabhupada. He used to teach that we are all one and God is one and everything. And then Ritesh Prabhu told that Prabhupada called you people as Mayavadis, and that guru said, is it? I didn't know he has called them Mayavadis. So, you know, even the gurus, so-called gurus are sometimes not aware that what is their sampradaya. They don't have all this knowledge. Then, what is the... Like, what is the fault of the students also?
You know, the gurus themselves are not aware. No, because the guru is a student, so then he has a fault because he has not understood properly himself, and then he is even worse because then he takes the position of guru without qualification, and then the students also are not discerning properly also. You know, you only get cheated if you want to be cheated. Because then you can't say, oh, I didn't know. No, you knew. You have to use your intelligence. That's why Krishna has given you intelligence. And when your intelligence is good, then you will make the right choice. Just like before I became a devotee, I looked at Buddhism, I looked at Baha'i, I looked at different things. But I looked, you know, this one doesn't, no, that one's not that. Then I saw this one. You know, and when I saw the Vedic teaching, and I saw the teaching of the Bhagavatam, then I saw, yes, this one seems like there is more there. And then when I went deeper and deeper into it, then we understand. Okay, so you cannot blame. We cannot say it is simply, oh, we are ignorant, we are innocent. Everyone has the responsibility like that. But if the soul is too much envious of God, then he will not surrender, even when he comes to the correct teacher.
Maharaj, there is a great responsibility towards setting example for the people to follow, which is created by taking shelter of Guru. If he would take shelter of someone who is not authorized, then very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Person is establishing the principle right there itself.
I just want to share one practical thing which happened regarding the previous question. There is one devotee in Chandigarh. He initially just went and he heard Acharam Babu for a couple of days, and he got very inspired to take any session from Acharam Babu. He just went into the pandal and all the samadhi and all. And at the time of initiation, he was going to take initiation. They said, okay, fine, then Acharam Babu will come and he will narrate the mantras about people. And something just happened in his heart. He was saying, if I can't meet my guru personally, if I can't discuss my questions personally, so there is no need of guru. He just left the pandal and he just, now he's a devotee from his home. He's a very sincere devotee.
Good example. Okay. So, there are four bona fide sampradayas. Now, one must be connected with these four bona fide sampradayas if one wants to make genuine spiritual progress, genuine progress in spiritual life. So we have the Brahma sampradaya coming from Lord Brahma, whose guru was Krishna himself. We have the Rudra sampradaya coming through Lord Shiva. We have the Sri Sampradaya coming through Lakshmi Devi. And we have the Nimbaka Sampradaya coming through the Kumaras. Now, one must be connected to one of these four bona fide Sampradayas if one is to make genuine progress in spiritual life. Because the Absolute Truth is only understood when one is connected through one of these four sampradayas. Now, each of the sampradayas has a prominent acharya within that sampradaya. The Brahma sampradaya has Madhvacharya. The Rudra sampradaya has Vishnuswami. The Sri sampradaya has Ramanujacharya. And the Nimbaka Sampradaya has Nimbakacharya, who is coming from the four Kumaras. Now, these personalities have been particularly empowered in order to teach Krishna consciousness, or God consciousness, throughout the universe. Now, one must come in a succession which is coming from these Sampradayas. Now, our Sampradaya, we come in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Which means our sampradaya is coming through our Lord Brahma, through Madhvacharya, and then down through the distributed succession to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then through his followers to Prabhupada, and then throughout ISKCON, and we have so many representatives of Prabhupada. So if one receives a mantra within one of these sampradayas, if one is not connected to one of these sampradayas, then one's mantra does not have potency. You may take initiation in a particular sampradaya, but if it is not connected in bona fide disciplic succession through one of these successions, then the mantra you receive does not have potency. In other words, it will not give the desired effect. The mantra becomes potent when one receives it from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, we see that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is being spread all over the world, primarily by Srila Prabhupada. Now, it is because it is coming from Prabhupada and then entering the ears of the conditioned souls through his bona fide followers that it has effect. Then it has potency. Otherwise, so many people can chant this, but it will not have the same potency. Unless one is coming in disciplic succession, unless one is connected to the disciplic succession, the potency will not be within the mantra. So therefore, one must receive it through the bona fide disciplic succession. Now, this is pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, the Adi Lila, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One must accept initiation into a bona fide sampradaya. One can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that you will be able to receive love of Godhead. But generally, none of us are pure enough to just chant the Maha Mantra and receive the full benefit of the chanting. Therefore, Prabhupada points out, we require initiation. Because, Ananya, hey, what's wrong? So, one must receive the mantra through the disciplic succession. One must take initiation in a bona fide sampradaya. If one does not take initiation, then the mantra will not have the same potency. So therefore Prabhupada says that you must take initiation to receive the potency in the mantra. Right? And to be trained by the guru how to chant the mantra. One can receive the mantra, and one can receive the Hare Krishna mantra, but one must learn the process as taught in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Harinam Anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means one must learn how to chant the Maha Mantra. Anyone can receive the mantra, but to learn how to chant it requires being initiated by a spiritual master. We require training. We require purification in order for the mantra to become effective. Now, when the guru gives initiation, in ISKCON we have first initiation and then we have the second initiation. Now, the second initiation, which we call Upanaya or Brahminical initiation, this initiation means you receive particular mantras which are called Gayatri. Right? In ISKCON we receive seven Gayatri mantras. First one to Surya Narayan, to the sun god. Second two to Guru. Third pair to Gauranga. Final pair to Radha Krishna. Like that. So we receive these Gayatri mantras. Now by receiving the Gayatri mantra from Guru, if it is received from Guru, then it has potency. And Guru gives you these mantras, and he gives you the qualification or permission to engage in the worship of the Archivitya. To engage in the worship of the Jivis in the temple. Because, generally speaking, if one does not receive proper training from the Guru, if one does not worship the deity while chanting the mantra, then one will not get the full effect of the mantra. You can chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and that, as Prabhupada points out, that is enough to take you back to Godhead. But will we chant it well enough to go back to Godhead? That's the point. The mantra is perfect. The mantra is potent, and if we receive it in the right disciplic succession, It has full potency. But will we have the qualification to chant it and get the full effect? Prabhupada explains we won't, because we are conditioned. Nichabada. For millions of lifetimes, there's so much conditioning, so much attachment to the material energy. So it requires that we receive initiation and training from the Guru, right? And the Guru will train us, right, how to chant the mantra. And in order to purify the subtle body, then one has to engage in deity worship or Pancharatrika Vidhi Mas. Right? And by following this process of initiation, this is what it means, that we must receive the mantra in initiation. When we receive it from the Guru and we are trained by the Guru, it doesn't mean that initiation is the end. Initiation is just the beginning. This means that you take your vows before the Guru, and by being trained by the Guru, then you become qualified to chant the mantra properly. And then one purification takes place in the heart. And then one gets the full benefit and effect of chanting the mantra. So it must come in disciplic succession. You cannot take the mantra by yourself. You cannot just take the mantra, I know the mantra, I don't need a Guru. No, it will not work. It will work if you're qualified, but generally you're not qualified. So therefore you receive training. You need guidance. You need to become purified. You need to worship the deities in conjunction with chanting. And this will purify the consciousness. As I said before, since I've been worshipping Giriraj for the last 4 years or so, every day engaging in puja, in deity worship, in seva, then my consciousness is becoming purified by the association of Giriraj. Now my chanting is having more effect. So this is a process. And you can only get qualification to worship the deity from, you can only get that authorization from the Guru. So therefore one must take initiation. This is the process. This is Harinam Anukirtana. Following. Not that I just take the mantra and I will become perfect. You will not become perfect. So this is the process. It must come through disciplic succession. It must come from a guru who is connected to this disciplic succession. That is the process, that is the potency. What does Prabhupada teach us are the two main important items in deity worship? When we worship the deity? Cleanliness? Punctuality. Why do we emphasize punctuality in our course? Because this is Brahminical life. Brahminical life means punctuality. Just like Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and to greet the deities in the morning, I think it's 7:15 in Vrindavan, they greet the deities, and Prabhupada looked at his watch and the pujaris were 1 minute late opening the curtain, and Prabhupada said it's very difficult to be a Brahmin in Kali Yuga. Everyone is always late, rushing. Prabhupada did not rush, he was always on time, punctual. This is Brahminical life, mode of goodness. And the other thing which is especially emphasized is cleanliness. One must learn cleanliness in worshipping the Lord. This purifies the consciousness and then your chanting will become more effective. Just like I've mentioned before in the previous years in the Bhakti Bhavath class, you don't put your pens in your mouth. When I look around the room, I see devotees putting their pens in their mouth. What is it called when you put your pen in your mouth? It means muchi. It means asuchi. It is not clean. Like that. That means you're not understanding Brahminical behavior. How are you going to worship the deities? How can you go on the Radha Balava's altar when you've stuck all sorts of things in your mouth? You think you're a Brahmana. You're not a Brahmana. And you must learn. Therefore, you require training. And this training comes from the Guru and the Guru's representatives. And that's how you become qualified. Otherwise you'll go on to the altar, you'll commit all sorts of aparat. You'll be late, not punctual, and you won't be clean. Then you will not get the effect. You will not get purification. So you must worship the deities in a punctual, clean manner. Then that will purify your consciousness. When your consciousness is purified, then when you chant the mantra, it will have more effect. So you require training. This is why you must come in disciplic succession. If you're not connected here, then you may get the mantra, no potency. Potency comes when you are connected to the Guru, you receive initiation. Initiation means you get training. Now you become qualified. Just like Aniruddha Prabhu recommended me for a Brahminical initiation in 1991, and Smaha Krishna Maharaj did not want to give it to me. So then I was walking across the courtyard with him after Mangalati, and he was going upstairs to chant, and he said, get me a plate to put Tulsi on. So then I thought, you know, when your guru asks you something, normally you're going through some anxiety. So then you begin to think, you know, where am I going to get a plate, where am I going to get a plate? So obviously, where do you get a plate? You get a plate from the dining room. So I went into the dining room, got a plate, went upstairs, said, here's the plate to put Tulsi on. He said, what is that plate used for? I said, well, people eat off it. And he said, you want to get Brahminical initiation? Right? You don't understand anything. Right? And he made me wait 2 years before he gave me Brahminical initiation. Right? So you require training. Otherwise you'll offend Krishna. Otherwise you will not understand the standards. There are standards in the spiritual world. Everyone knows them. You read in the Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, right? Highest scriptures, Govinda Lilamrita, the Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, the highest scriptures, which describe in detail the Ashtakaliya Lila of Radha and Krishna, the most intimate scriptures. You'll see that whenever Krishna eats, what does he do after he eats? What does Krishna do after he eats? Washes his mouth. Why does he wash his mouth? He's God. Does he need to wash his mouth? What is become impure? He is the supreme Pavitra. Right? He by remembering him, everything else becomes pure. Why does he need to wash his mouth? Because he is training us. Right? This is actual behavior. This is the actual standard of civilization. The spiritual world shows perfect etiquette. Acha means how to act perfectly. Right? So all these things are taught. So you need to learn these things from a guru. Otherwise you will not become qualified. So any questions or comments?
So where is it mentioned? Where is it mentioned that only these four are the one of our sampradaya and others are not?
It is mentioned, I can't give the reference, but it is mentioned. It says, I think Sanatana Goswami says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, he quotes like that. He said that one must receive the mantra in these four sampradayas. So it is mentioned. So we take it on Sanatana Goswami's authority that this is a Vedic injunction. Otherwise, it means that the sampradayas must be empowered by the Lord Himself. We read in the Bhagavatam that Krishna personally instructed Brahma from within the heart. So this is the qualification of Lord Brahma. How does Lord Brahma become the sampradayic acharya? Because he heard directly from the Lord Himself. That is the qualification. So if someone comes outside of one of these four sampradayas, it means they've not been authorized by the Lord Himself to begin that teaching within the universe. Now, further describes that these four acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbaka Acharya, and Vishnu Swami, each one of them travelled to Navadvipa. And when they arrived at Navadvipa, at Mayapur, they had darshan of Gauranga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya, he said to each of them, he revealed his form, but he said that each of your sampradayas, not all of your sampradaya, or not every sampradaya, will teach the highest principles or the highest teachings of love of Godhead. He said, so although you have realized me and you understand me to be the most intimate incarnation of God, but still, you should just preach according to what you have received in your disciplic succession. Do not preach the Gaudiya Siddhanta. He said, I will come and I will personally preach that, and I will take two principles from each of the sampradayas, and I will unite the four sampradayas, and I will give the highest teachings of Krishna Prema, of love for God. So each one of these acharyas, they personally had darshan of Mahaprabhu. So they were perfectly realized souls. And each one of them is qualified to represent the Sampradaya, to become the Acharya in the Sampradaya. Any other points?
Jesus told him, Mahaprabhu, he will take like, two things from each Sampradaya. Can you please explain these two things?
I have a book just here which explains those things. I won't name it now, but if you want I can show you the book and you can look. Otherwise it'll take most of the class to discuss.
The same question, like two were asking the reference for the Sampradaya. So can't we give the reference of Bhagavan?
Yeah, but there's a specific reference. I think Sanatana Goswami says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says one must receive the mantra from one of these four Sampradayas. So there is a reference there, but I just cannot remember the specifics.
My question is, can't we say like it's from the Bhagavatam?
Yeah, but there may not be a specific verse in the Bhagavatam that says like that. Yeah? But the Bhagavatam does not contradict that statement. Like that.
Where do the followers of Rishik philosophy place in this whole?
What do you mean?
In terms of, they're also receiving Maha Mantra, but their distributed succession stops at Srila Prabhupada's. So therefore, what is their stand? And,
first point is that they're not following Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada's instruction was that you should take initiation from one of my disciples. Prabhupada's instruction was that one must have a living guru. Like that. So this is the first point is that they're not following Prabhupada's instruction. Second point is that they don't have the benefit of being able to be instructed by a living guru. So that means that basically your mind becomes your guru. They say Prabhupada is their guru, but Prabhupada is not really their guru. Their mind is their guru. Because if they have a question, can they directly ask Prabhupada? If they need a specific instruction about a specific point in their life, can they ask Prabhupada? Like that. So there are problems with that philosophy. That's why the GBC have rejected that philosophy. Okay. It is not authorized by Prabhupada. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other points? Prabhupada specifically says, it is said that unless one accepts a mantra from one of these sampradayas, the so-called mantra will not act in Kali Yuga. It was different, the process was different in the other sampradaya, in the other yugas. Like deity worship was prominent, and then yagya was prominent, and then meditation was prominent. And so it wasn't so much based upon chanting a mantra. Like that. Although the mantras were there within the system, but principally within Kali Yuga, the system is that we chant the mantra. That is the way we become perfect in Kali Yuga. Like that. So therefore it is saying that you must be connected in Kali Yuga because this is the only way to become purified in Kali Yuga is to chant a mantra. So you must receive it in proper succession for it to have potency. Otherwise you see people all over the world, they're chanting different things these days, but they're not getting the full effect. Some benefit they're getting, but they're not getting the full effect because they're not connected to the proper spiritual succession. Does that answer what you're saying? I don't know about all of them, but the Nimbaka Sampradaya, they chant Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe 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 Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. So that is their Maha Mantra in their succession. So they become perfect if they initiate it into that mantra, and then they chant it in their line, they become perfect. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we initiate it in our sampradaya, we become perfect by chanting that. The special glory of our sampradaya is that Krishna appeared within it as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu could have appeared in any of the four. So he went in that particular sampradaya. And within that sampradaya, then he made it more powerful. Because it says before he came in that sampradaya, then people were not receiving Krishna prema. They were going to Vaikuntha like that. That was the benefit they got. But when Mahaprabhu came, then everything became open for the conditioned souls to return back to Goloka Vrindavan.
So,
It depends, because the other followers of Madhvacharya, they also worship in South India, they worship Lakshmi Narayan. So even the other followers coming in the Madhva Sampradaya, in that bona fide Sampradaya, but they have a different mood. Whereas the mood in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, in Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, is that we have a very particular mood. So you have to look at every, because even in the different Sampradayas there are different teachings like that. The moods are different. Like that. Any other points?
Madhva Sampradaya, the focus is less on chanting. And it is more on deity worship. Worshipping the Mula Ram, that is the main sadhana of the Madhvas. Emphasis on chanting is very high in Brahman Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Even within Ramanuja Sampradaya, the emphasis doesn't seem to be very high on chanting for the common man. Even if there is chanting happening, looks like it's restricted to few people. Because like recently we have seen so many people I met so many people from Ramanuja Sampradaya who have more emphasis on deity worship in the morning and also putting the, I don't know what it's called, chop. They have the, in English, they
brand.
Use tattoo.
Brand.
Yeah, brand, branding. Yeah. Branding. But there's less emphasis on chanting. We have, in our Bhakti Vrishwa, one girl who comes whose parents are Sri Vaishnavas, and I was asking her, because she's very interested in our sampradaya, whereas her parents are very much into Kamala. And then she said that my mother is very appreciative of me, that I am chanting 16 rounds every day. And she says that you must do this. It's rare that someone does instead of Sarvam. We are part of Ramanuja Sarvam Sampradaya, but we are not chanting this much. So their emphasis is more on saying Vishnu Sahasranam. That is chanting, it's not different, but repeating the mantra is something which.
Nirmala had a sort of, I would say, bitter experience in the sense that she went into one of the congregations where Chinadiya Swamiji, the current Acharya of Sri Sampradaya, from the northern part. And he looked at Nirmala and said, if you don't change now into our Sampradaya, one day you have to change, maybe that one day could be you have to take any number of lifetimes. So it's better if you do it now. So Nirmala with tears, yes, that is. So this is at the level of Acharya, which has happened to her about 6 months, 1 year.
Because we understand in Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Yuga Dharma is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One time one of Prabhupada's disciples, or some Prabhupada's disciples, they went to one of the famous temples in Vrindavan. and they went there for the aarti. Then after the aarti, then the Mahant, a very prominent devotee, he said, if you are fortunate, if you keep following this chanting, Hare Krishna, he said, in your next lifetime you'll take birth, and maybe you can become the pujari of the deity here in Vrindavan. So they came back and they told Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, and you go back and tell him that if you keep worshipping the deity in your next lifetime, you'll take birth in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement in America. And you'll become a book distributor. Prabhupada is the topmost acharya. Everyone else will say something else, but don't worry. What did Prithvi Maharaj teach us? Just be humble. Right? They say so many things, you just put your head down, you just offer a pranam. Prabhupada said, you just keep walking. Right? He said, Prabhupada gave this analogy, I'm not saying they are like animals, but Prabhupada said the dogs will bark, but the caravan continues to pass. Like that. So people will say so many things, but we just be very humble, and then we just continue on. Because we know we're in the best place, actually. Yeah? Because we're following the Yuga Avatar, we're practicing the Yuga Dharma under the teachings of the Yuga Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. So what is more fortunate? So we don't have to worry anything. Plus our prasadam is the best. It's okay. Okay. Prithvi Maharaj was a powerful incarnation of Lord Krishna's potencies. Consequently, any narration concerning his activities is surely very pleasing to hear, and it produces all good fortune. As far as I am concerned, I am always your devotee as well as a devotee of the Lord, who is known as Adhokshaja. Please therefore narrate all the stories of King Prithu, who in the form of the son of King Vena, milked the cow-shaped earth.
Lord Krishna is also known as Avatari, which means one from whom all incarnation emanates. In Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabho matas sarvam pravartite. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds, and everything emanates from me. Thus, Lord Krishna is the origin of everyone's appearance. As far as this material world is concerned, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva are all emanations from Krishna. These three incarnations of Krishna are called Guna Avataras. The material world is governed by three material modes of nature, and Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva respectively take charge of the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Maharaj Prithu is also an incarnation of those qualities of Lord Krishna by which one rules over conditioned souls. In this world, the word Adhokshaja, meaning beyond the perception of the material senses, is very significant. No one can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead by mental speculation. Therefore, a person with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since one can form only an impersonal idea on the strength of one's material senses, Lord is known as Adhokshaja.
Any points here? So Krishna is known as?
Adhokshaja.
But before that? In the first paragraph, Prabhupada says he is Avatari. So we have so many different avatars. Ete chamsa kala kumsa. There are so many incarnations. But Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original source of all the other incarnations. Therefore he is Avatari, or the source of all other avatars. Now even to understand properly the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya taught that the original form of God is, but more specifically, we know it's already said that he is Krishna, that the original form of God is, Swayam Bhagavan. That means he's the original form, Krishna. Yeah, that's who he is. But the original form is Shamsundar, Rajendra Nandana. Right? He is the son of the king of Raj. Right? This is the original form of Godhead. Right? From this form, then, even when Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura, the original form, that Swayam Bhagavan, that Vrindavan form of Krishna, Shamasundra, he does not leave Vrindavan. That is an expansion. Prabhupada explains that as Vasudev Krishna, who goes to Mathura, who goes to Dwarka. Right? It is not the original form of God. That is only found in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brajendra Nandana. That is the original personality of Godhead. And all other incarnations are simply expansions or expansions of the expansions of that original form. So that original form is called Avatari. He is the source of all other incarnations. And he is simply a he's simply a cowherd boy. Gopal. When he is young, he is called Vatsapal. When he gets older, he is called Gopal. He looks after the cows. Just like we see the pastime in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which we'll get to in about another 12 years, we'll see. It depends which course you want to do. There's a quicker course coming also. If you want to get there in 2 years, you can go to the other course. But this course takes a little bit longer. So, it says that Lord Brahma, he came to Krishna in Vrindavan, and he offered respects to him in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, and he offered so many prayers. That you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the substance of everything. You are the origin of all creations. And it describes that Krishna, he was just a cowherd boy, like 8 years old. And he was standing there, and he, in his left hand, what do we use the left hand for? Nothing auspicious. Left hand is only used for inauspicious, right? Right hand, we only touch prasad with the right hand. Just like in the Gurukul, we teach the children, they can sit on their left hand while they're taking prasad. You never touch prasad with the left hand, only with the right hand. Even when Prabhupada would eat a banana, Prabhupada would take the banana, he would peel it with his teeth, hold it with the right hand, peel it with his teeth. Right? Should not touch prasad with the left hand. Right? So Krishna was standing in front of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma was offering these most eloquent prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, and Krishna was standing there in front of him, and he was holding dahi, yogurt, in his left hand. Right? And it says that in between his fingers, right, in between one finger, I can't remember specifically, but in between one finger he had a piece of ginger. Right? And in between another finger, I think he had maybe a little nimble, might have been. I can't remember specifically. It actually mentions specifically what he was holding. And then I think he had a little bit of chili. So he was holding like that, and he was eating the yogurt and taking a little bit of, like that, mixing it and with his left hand. And he's just sitting there, and he's looking at Lord Brahma, and he's thinking, who is this guy? Comes into Vrindavan with four heads and lays down in front of me and then offers prayers. I don't even understand what he's talking about. I just want to go and find my cows, so I can go back to the Jamuna and have a picnic with my friends. Right? And then after Lord Brahma finished all his prayers, then Krishna just kind of looked at him and he just walked off. He didn't even say anything. He just walked off like that. That's the original personality of Godhead. That is Swayam Bhagavan. That's who we are worshipping. And that's who we are trying to realize. He is Adhoksaja. Adhoksaja means he is beyond the perception of the senses. He is a transcendental cowherd boy. You will never, ever, ever, ever see him unless you become pure. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Lord Brahma says, when your eyes become tinged with the self of love, then you will see him. Otherwise, it is impossible to see him. Like that. Lord Brahma could not understand him. Right? Lord Brahma thought that he was just an ordinary boy. Not ordinary, but he thought, who is this cowherd boy? I'll play a trick on him. And then when he came back, and he was completely bewildered. Brahma Vimohan Lila. Vimohan means? Yeah, Mohan means? Bewildered. Vimohan means? Completely bewildered. He could not understand anything. Hey, Ananya, what's wrong? Ananya. So this is the potency of Krishna. In his original form, he is simply a cowherd boy. And he doesn't think he's anything else but a cowherd boy. Just like sometimes the bridge busies, they come together in the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj. And in the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj, they begin to discuss amongst themselves. And they say to Nanda Maharaj, "We think you have to be very careful how you treat him. Because we notice that you are chastising him. And we notice that you are disciplining him. But we think he's not an ordinary person." Gargacharya mentioned when he was born that he had appeared in three other yugas. So we think he's killed so many demons. He's such an extraordinary person. Obviously he's a great demigod. He may even be Lord Narayan himself. So you must be very careful how you treat him. And Nanda Maharaj begins to smile. And he said, "You must be joking. Who do you think this boy is? Right? He's always telling lies. He cannot control his senses. Right? He's always getting caught in someone else's house, stealing things. Right? He's not even a moral person. Right? He goes into the neighbor's houses and tries to steal their butter, and when he can't get any, then he passes water on the floor. And then on his way out, he pinches their babies to wake them up. Right? Even a normal person can control their senses. He has no sense control whatsoever. Right? At night time, when he hears thunder, he runs and jumps into my bed. And you are saying he's Narayan? There's one pastime in Vrindavan where Krishna, he was always going into the houses of the gopis, the older gopis. And they would come to Mother Yashoda and they would say, "Why can't you control your son? He's always coming to our house and stealing the makan, stealing the butter, stealing the yogurt. Why can't you control him?" She said, "I don't think he would do that. He's a very good boy. I don't think he would do that." So one day, he was stealing in one of the houses, and then one of the older gopis, she came and she said, "I've got you." Right? And she grabbed him by the hand. Said, "Now I'll take you to Mother Yashoda." So she walked to Mother Yashoda's house and she had him by the hand. And she walked in, she said to Mother Yashoda, said, "Look, I have him." Right? And Mother Yashoda was looking and she said, "Who do you have?" She said, "I have your son. He's been stealing the yogurt. Now I've caught him. See, you didn't believe me." And Mother Yashoda, she's looking and said, "Who do you have?" And then she looked down and it was her son. And she was holding by the hand. She thought, I thought it was... So she was totally bewildered. And Mother Yashoda said, I don't understand. And then she said, "Okay, well then, I'm sorry." So then she left and she walked out. She walked around the corner and she looked back and it was Krishna. And Krishna said, "If you ever do that again," he said, "next time I'll turn into your husband." This is our God. Right? This is Swayam Bhagavan. Right? This is the source of all the other incarnations. Right? He's just a cowherd boy. But he's not an ordinary cowherd boy. That's why we're taking 12 years to study the first 9 cantos, so that we understand he is not just a cowherd boy. Right? He is adhoksaja. Right? He is beyond the realm of the senses. You'll never see him with these senses. Right? You'll never understand him until you become purified by studying the Bhagavad Gita very seriously, by worshipping the Guru, by chanting the Maha Mantra, by following all the process of devotional service. Then one day in some distant lifetime we may understand he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the original source of everything. So, any questions, comments?
Well, I was just reading this Brahma Vimohan Leela from Anand Vrindavan Chandra, just a few people just coming to the class. There, what Balaram is telling, this is Krishna there. I can actually see what you've done. You responded in the forearm forms of Lord Narayan and all the cows and visible cow boys in your conscience. But I still can't understand the reason why you've done this. So the Narayan Swami was just commenting that Lord Brahman is a supreme intelligence. He is actually being surrendered himself to the Lord, and he says, I can understand, you know, everything that you have done. I'm more able to understand the, you know, reason why you have done this. And you just explain to him the past.
Just to show that he is the original personality of God. Okay. Suta Goswami continued. When Vidura became inspired to hear of the activities of Lord Krishna in his various incarnations, Maitreya, also being inspired and being very pleased with Vidura, began to praise him. Then Maitreya spoke as follows. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that if the audience is very eager to hear, then the speaker becomes very enthusiastic to speak about Krishna. And that is when Krishna Katha becomes relishable, and Prabhupada says, then you do not want to stop. Because there's no cessation for hearing Krishna Katha. One will never become dissatisfied. One can continue to hear and hear and hear more and more and more. But the audience must be qualified. They must learn to hear like Maharaj Parikshit. Prabhupada says, with rapt attention. And the speaker, he becomes enthused to speak on and on and on about Krishna. And he becomes unlimitedly blissful by speaking about Krishna. When the audience is qualified, then the speaker becomes enthusiastic, and then Krishna Katha manifests. Then Krishna manifests within the Sangha, within the association, something like that. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, at the time King Prithu was enthroned by the great sages and brahmanas and declared to be the protector of the citizens, there was a scarcity of food grains. The citizens actually became skinny due to starvation. Therefore, they came before the king and informed him of their real situation. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that in the Vedic system, the Varnashram institution cooperates together for the benefit of the entire society. Everyone in society cooperates so that society can move forward. So it is described that the Shudras, assist the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas to create the necessities of life. What are the necessities of life? Primarily just food, clothing, and then other things also. So these are the primary necessities. So this is the Vaishya's duty produce these things. To produce food, clothing, dairy product, ghee, gold, all of these things. These are collected by the Vaishyas. And then they pay a tax to the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriya takes these commodities, especially grains and ghee, which are produced by the Vaishyas, and then they distribute this to all those who need it, but primarily they give the grains and the ghee to the Brahmanas. And then the Brahmanas, they perform yajna for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Brahmanas offer the grains and the clarified butter into the fire, then everyone who has been connected to producing that grain and that ghee, they become benefited within the kingdom. So everyone becomes benefited. Everything becomes auspicious. This is the Varnashram system. The cows become benefited because they give their milk. The bulls become benefited because they till the earth. They produce the grain. So everyone becomes benefited within the system. Now the kshatriya's duty, as Prabhupada points out in this section, the kshatriya's duty is to organize everyone else. And when you don't have proper kshatriyas, proper leadership, everything becomes disorganized. Just like in the world these days. Is it very well organized? Right? Why are there so many starving people on the planet? Right? Why are one quarter of the people on the planet going to bed tonight with hunger in their stomachs? Why is that? Right? Because the leaders are not qualified. Because if you're a qualified leader, then you must make sure that everyone in the country, everyone in the kingdom, is fully maintained and protected. That is the qualification of the kshatriya. Kshatriya. Prabhupada explains it means to protect from hurt, to protect from harm. This is proper leadership. So that is the duty of the kshatriya, to organize everyone else. Make sure the brahmanas are doing what they should be doing, make sure the vaishyas are doing what they should be doing, make sure the shudras, make sure everyone is maintained, able to do their activities properly. So this is Prithu Maharaja's perfect example. He shows us how to perfectly rule the citizens and to perfectly organize the kingdom. Dear King, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow of the trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of surrendered souls and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but the incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food. So Prabhupada points out that there is no such thing as overpopulation on the planet. These days we hear people arguing that if we have too many people, we cannot feed them all. They're saying by 2050, we have 6 billion people on the planet now, they're saying by 2050 we will have 9 billion. And they're saying if we don't begin to organize things now, we'll have a food shortage. But Prabhupada has actually said that we can have 6 times more people than what we have right now. And we can feed them all adequately. Just like down on our farm, just like did anyone have the sabji in the temple tonight, the 6 o'clock prasadam, like that? All the zucchinis in the sabji, right, from the farm.
Very sweet.
Yeah, like organic, pure, like that. So, all of this food on the farm, we can grow so much fruit. Easily enough to feed everyone here, easily enough to feed hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people. It's just proper organization, that's all. If everything is organized properly, there's so much arable land or good land where we can grow food for the people. Like that. But it just needs proper organization. Just like in the 1970s, the American government, because there was a surplus of grains, they were producing more grains than what they needed, then in order to keep the market competitive, they were taking the tankers into the ocean and dropping the grains into the ocean. Right? Just to make sure that so the price would not come down too much on the grains. But in the meantime, there were thousands of, maybe millions of people starving in Africa. So what sort of a government is that? Right? Instead of worrying about other people on this planet who are your brothers and your sisters, no, we'd rather worry about one little country, right, with 250 million people on there who are hedonistic, right, and simply worried about their own economy, right? Instead of actually worrying about the people on the planet who did not have something to eat, so then they just throw the grains into the ocean. Right? And now they wonder why there's a food shortage. In America now, they don't have enough rice. Right? Rice is being rationed in America. Right? As we speak, it's being rationed. In Egypt, 6 months ago, they were rationing bread. It's already beginning to happen. Therefore, Prabhupada said, what are the problems in life? Food, shelter. Right? If you solve these two problems, right, you solve the problems of life. And you'll see, probably, maybe even in our lifetime, you'll see that these will become bigger and bigger problems. Maybe even in the next 5 or 10 years, you'll see these become more and more problems. Right? Everyone's trying to become an IT worker or an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. That's not going to solve the problems of life. Right? The problem of life is, what are you going to eat when you get home? The problem of life is not whether the system in Telstra or in, you know, Commonwealth Bank was working today. You know, that's not going to feed everyone. Right? But that's what society's become. Yeah? Prabhupada says, this is called Ugra Karma. Or Shrama Evihi Kevalam. This is useless waste of time. Yeah? Just like Prabhupada says, you cannot eat nuts and bolts. Right? What are you going to do? Your factories produce so much nuts and bolts. Yeah? But you could be using all those men in the factory to produce food from the land. Yeah? So many unnecessary commodities are coming. Yeah? So Prithu Maharaj, he was organizing society in such a way that the basic necessities of life were being met. In other words, everyone had enough to eat. That is the actual problem. Not that we're opening, you know, car factories and so many other. My Prabhupada said, what do we need so many cars for? We only need one type of car. Just like when I went to India for the first time, 19 years ago or so, there was only one car. What was that car called? Did it work?
Yes.
Was there any problems with it? It's a better car than the one they have now.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't go so fast. That's good. Right? And it's very strong. So even when you hit something, it doesn't fall apart so well. It was a good car. Right? But now they think advancement means you have 20 different models on the road. All of them are driving too fast. People are dying all over the roads. Right? And then what is the point? Prabhupada said one car is enough. You only need one car. You don't need so many different types of cars. Right? One car, they're all the same colour. Very good system. Right? And even better than that is that you just go on horse and car. Right? In the Vedic time, the only person who had chariots was the higher classes. Right? The Kshatriyas would ride on chariots, or maybe very powerful brahmanas would ride on chariots, or very wealthy vaishyas. But Shudras never rode on a chariot, they would only walk. Right? But then Prabhupada explains, now look at all the Shudras these days, everyone has their own chariot. Right? Mercedes, BMW, Jaguar, Toyota, whichever chariot you have. Everyone has their little chariot, but they're all Shudras. And what happens when Shudras get on a chariot? They cause problems, right, for themselves and for other Shudras. Right? And this is a demoniac society. It's not proper. So unless you can prove you're from a higher class, then you have to give up your chariot. Unless you can prove that you're from a higher class. Good fun, these classes, huh? Where are we up to? After hearing this lamentation and seeing the pitiable condition of the citizens, King Prithu contemplated this matter for a long time to see if he could find out the underlying causes. Having arrived at a conclusion, the king took up his bow and arrow and aimed them at the earth, exactly like Lord Shiva, who destroys the whole world out of anger. When the earth saw that King Prithu was taking his bow and arrow to kill her, she became very much afraid and began to tremble. She then began to flee, exactly like a deer which runs very swiftly when followed by a hunter. Being afraid of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow and began to run. Yes. So King Preetha, he is now beginning to chastise the earth because he thinks previously King Vena was ruling. So when King Vena was ruling, what was his mentality? Right? He told all the Brahmanas, stop doing Jagya and just worship me. Right? If you just worship me, everything will become auspicious. You don't need to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was King Vena's mentality. But then Preetha Maharaj has come. So obviously when the king's a demoniac, the earth withdraws her natural resources. So you could understand in King Vena's time why the earth would withdraw. Just like now we have demoniac rulers, and what is the result? We have droughts, we have floods. The earth is not producing as she would normally produce. But we see when the ruler is very pious, then automatically the earth gives everything which is necessary for the benefit of the citizens. So Preetha Maharaj, she is thinking everything is in order, but still she is not producing. So he becomes very angry at the earth. And she takes the form of a cow, because you would never kill a cow. But Preetha Maharaj, he is chasing her. And he's saying, you may take the form of a cow, but still you are not giving to the citizens as you should be. They are following Dharma, they are following their duty, so you should be looking after them. So this is the duty of the king. The king must maintain the citizens. He must protect the citizens and give them everything they need to be happy and peaceful in this world. Seeing this, Maharaj Preetha became very angry, and his eyes became as red as the early morning sun. Placing an arrow on his bow, he chased the cow-shaped earth wherever she would run. The cow-shaped earth ran here and there in outer space between the heavenly planets and the earth. And wherever she ran, the king chased her with his bow and arrows. Just as a man cannot escape the cruel hands of death, the cow-shaped earth could not escape the hands of the son of Vena. At length, the earth, fearful, her heart aggrieved, turned back in helplessness. So we'll stop there for tonight, and tomorrow night we'll continue with the chapter. That's in verse 18. Any final comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.